come. This morning we ask that you pray for us. Real sweet for just a few minutes of time. Try to preach my message as quickly as I possibly can today. But yet, I want to take my time at the same time this morning. As we go to the book of Matthew in the second chapter, very familiar passage of scripture reading. And if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's word, go with us if you would, starting at verse 1 in this second chapter of the book of Matthew. And it says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. See, they knew. It's written. They knew where he would be born. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not thou the least amongst the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called on the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Listen to this verse. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And stop reading there this morning. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Preach from these scriptures so many times over the years. But the Lord has given me a new thought this morning that I'd like to take from the second verse and also the last verse that we read there in verse 10 about that star. And that's why, Rob, I ask you if you'd sing that song for us this morning, because that song tells our message that the Lord has laid upon our hearts today. I'd like to use for a few minutes of time a text. The star still leads to God. The star still leads to God. The Bible is full of stories about how God used things to lead men to Him. We can go back in that song that we just sung, and I'll get my book out here real quickly and try to follow along with the message this morning. But the book that we just sang this song, Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, from, the first verse talks about these wise men, how that star came and it led them right to the place to where Jesus lay. It was a star that led them. All of the wise men that was there, and as my Sunday school teacher said this morning, that we say it was three, it was probably more than just three that came there. But however many there was that came there, they followed the star until it came and stood right over the place where Jesus lay. The star led them. And I thought about this in times past as well, that all of the smart people that was in the land, all the soothsayers and all those that, and the, even not just them, but going to the priests and to the Levites, all of those that knew the prophecies about a Messiah that would come, and all of them didn't have an idea about where this child was at. They wasn't looking for him, as we preached here a few weeks ago. They wasn't looking for him to come. But this little star guided the wise men to where Jesus was at. And even Herod, he said, when you found him, bring me word that I might come and worship him also, which we know was a lie. Amen. Because Larry and men from Sunday school, you remember in the book of Revelations, it said that from the time of his birth, before his birth, that the devil, that great dragon, was out to devour him. The moment that he would be born, that he was trying to kill him so that he couldn't grow up to be the man that God intended for him to be. The star that led them there was not by chance, but it was on purpose, that God had a star that was hidden to all the world, but yet to those that was wise men that was looking for him, The star led him right to the place to where Jesus laid at. And I have to ask you this morning in this message, and then I'll move on. How many of you can remember being led to that star that led you to God and knowing Him as your Lord and Savior? And the second verse of that song talks about the prophets and how that they were led. And the Bible says in the book of Exodus, many of you as Bible readers will go back and you'll remember that the Bible says in the book of Exodus in the 13th chapter that God led His people. The Lord has never had a time in the history of mankind that God was not trying to get men to follow Christ to where He was at. Because unless you go through Christ, you can't get to God. Amen? Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless my Father, which is in heaven, draw him unto me. And the Bible says in those days that the Lord leading His people out from under bondage and into the promised land, that He put a cloud by day and a fire by night. I ask you, what is a star? Is a star nothing more than what we know it today than a fire that burns in intense heat that's in the skies that leads people and gives light to us? He had it, and even in that time, that there was a star, if I can use that this morning, and don't fall out with me over it, that there was a star that would lead people to the land that God had promised their forefathers. Folks, we still have a star that leads us today. I'm not following the deacons. I'm not following the world. I'm not even following the church. But I'm following Jesus Christ to get to where God is at this morning. They followed Him, and let me put this in for good measure as well. Many of us today, we say, well, we like to follow the star, we like to follow the cloud, but so many times trouble comes along and it takes our eyes off of the Lord. You know what I found in my scripture reading? Every once in a while, I like to go back and allow God just to bless my soul all over again with a verse or a thought that I had forgotten about over the years. But in the book of Exodus, it says that about that cloud, that the cloud went before the children of Israel and it followed in behind them. And let me put this out and then I'll move on. When the children of Israel were there at the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army was coming against them, there was trouble. There was a good land on the other side of the sea, and there was trouble coming behind them. You know what the cloud did? It came between the children of Israel and the trouble that was behind them. Amen. Sometimes I've just prayed, Lord, send that cloud in between me and the trouble that I'm facing. Because you see, that trouble was bigger and greater and stronger than what the children of Israel was, because it was Pharaoh and his mighty army on their chariots. But you know what God did? He said, those are my people. They're following my star. And I put a cloud in between you and them so that you can't get to where they're at. And your horses shall drown. Your chariots, the wheels shall fall off of it. This morning, how many of you are praying that God would send a cloud as you follow the star, that God would send a cloud in between you and your trouble and just knock the wheels off of the trouble that is chasing after you? Isn't that a thought this morning? And God will do that for us if we'll just follow Him. But here we have in the book of Matthew, the wise man followed that star. And in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding with great joy. And I thought, my goodness, I can today, I may not, and I did rejoice tonight, I got saved. But you know what I find? The longer I'm in this journey, the more I rejoice in knowing that I am saved by the grace of God. And that I'm still following the star. Sister Mary, some folks might say, well, how in the world do you follow a star in these dark days in which we live in? And we are living in troublesome times, but there's still a star that leads each and every one of us. And I want to preach my message to you this morning and share this with you, because it was such a blessing to me when the Lord laid it upon my heart that I just wanted to hurry up and get here today and share this with you in the Word. But you remember that even when Christ came, He was that star, if I could preach it like that. He is the star. And folks, He not just was the star, but He is still the star if we will follow Him this morning. My star is not some ball player. My star is not some movie actor. My star is not some financial genius or some great entrepreneur somewhere. But you know who my star is? He shines brighter and brighter and brighter. His name is called Jesus Christ. He's not a dead star. He's alive and well. Anybody else talk to him this morning and you know that he's alive? Anybody else had days in your life when it may be in the past week that you needed some light to shine brighter in your life to show you as they sing that song, Lord, tell me or show me where to put my foot down next, because the road is so dark and is so treacherous. But folks, if we could just get a little light from heaven, let that light shine in our life, we would be able to see where we're walking. The disciples, and I'm trying to hurry this morning, the disciples were saddened when their star told them, I'm about to leave you and go away. They were sad and they was brokenhearted, and many of them even got so depressed that they went back to their former occupations after their star they thought had burned out. And I didn't know I was going to preach all this, but I got to follow my heart. You know, every once in a while it is a known in science community that a star will burn out. It will lose its fire and it will just fizzle away. And the disciples thought, and the world thought, maybe even the devil thought, that when they put Jesus Christ, the star of heaven, upon a cross, that they had finally put this star out. It would no longer shine. But how many of you remember on the third and appointed day, that star they thought was dead, it arose again. And folks, it never stopped shining. The world may not have seen it. Let me preach this morning for a few minutes. You remember when Jesus died on the cross, there was darkness all over the earth. But in a place called paradise, that light lit up that place, and those folks that was waiting for the star to come, they now saw the light of the star that they'd been looking for. And folks, when the world thought that they had done away with him, he got up out of the grave and he is still shining today. Folks say, well, he's gone to heaven. How in the world could he be shining in our lives today? In the book of Matthew, or John rather, in the 15th chapter and in the 26th verse, he had told them in the previous verses and in previous chapters that he was going away. But he said, when I go away, I'm not going to be a dead star, but you'll still see a star shining in the midst of your Sunday morning services. You'll still see a star shining in the midst of your Sunday evening and Wednesday evening. In fact, anytime you gather together in my name, you will still see a star that is shining. Anybody know what I'm preaching about? Because the Bible says Jesus told them, he said, when I go away, he said, but I will send you another light, another comforter that will come. And when I send it from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And listen to this. And when the Spirit of truth has come, in the 13th verse of the 16th chapter, he will guide you in all truth. You know what a star did for the wise man? It guided them. You know what the fire by night and the cloud by day did for the children of Israel? It guided them. You know what guides my every movement and thought today? It's not some fictitious star, but there is a star in the midst of the church today. It's not your pastor. It's not your deacons. But I'm glad that there is a Spirit of truth in the house of God that still leads men and women to Jesus Christ and to God, that they may know him in a free pardon of sin. I'm glad when I'm in the midst of a dark and profound world that I still, this little light of mine, I have it that guides me every step of the way that I'm walking. Aren't you glad today that your star is not burned out, but he is forever shining? He may not be visibly amongst us, but you know what? I'm glad that whether I'm in church on a Sunday morning, or I'm driving to church on a Sunday morning, I'm at work Monday through Friday, or I'm out in the field plowing or working on Saturday, no matter where I may be at, I'm glad I've got the Star of David shining into my heart and my life. People say, well, you really believe it like that? Folks, without him, you and I cannot know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. But with him, all things are possible today. I'm glad I've got him with me. He said he would send this light. Because the scripture said, Jesus told him, he said, if you don't have a light to guide you, then you're blind. Yeah. And if the blind follow the blind, you'll all fall in the ditch.
Right.
That'll preach now. Yeah. I thought, Larry, how many of our people are being guided by somebody that's blind?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think, Lord, what could I do as a pastor to be a better pastor? Or what could I do to help the church grow more? What could I do to get more people interested in you? And what could I do just to see your people blessed above what they are today? And you know what it all comes down to? It's not my light. It's not your light. But it's the light of God that shines in us, that shows this dark world. You don't have to get saved. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to live for Jesus Christ. But if you keep going the way you're going, you're all going to end up in hell and destruction. But I'm glad that I've got a light that I follow, that people may think we're crazy. They may talk about us and say all manner of bad things. But folks, Sister Ruby, I'm glad I'm following the star that don't lead to Bethlehem. It doesn't lead to the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. But the star that I'm following, it leads to heaven above. And folks, with my lights down here have gone out, I still got a light that's burning on the inside, because he put it down deep in our hearts and soul so that our soul could see where we need to walk. And then let me move. Since I said that, let me go on over to the book of Revelations if I can real quickly. Some of us think that this star will only lead us while we're here. But let me show you this morning, because God laid this up on my heart in the book of Revelations in the 17th chapter and the 9th verse. And I'm going to close in a few minutes. In the 7th chapter and 9th verse, it says, after this I beheld a great multitude. That ought to make a church want to rejoice on a Sunday morning, which no man could number. When they tell you there's only 144,000 going, you tell them what the Bible says. There's a number over there that no man could put on. Of all nations, you hear that? And kindreds, and people, and tongues. Can I put this in? This is Roger. And denominations. Somebody ought to rejoice. Stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sit upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne of their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulations, and had their washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Listen to this. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto fountains of water. See, it's not just here, but God allows His Son to lead us. And God laid this thought upon my heart, and then I'm going to move on to close this morning. I've often wondered, and some of you may have also, what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. How are we going to walk in and everybody else is there and they're already having a good time? But then the thought went back how that the Lord said in the Thessalonica church, He said that God, a great trump shall sound, declaring that time shall be no more, and God will send His Son in the clouds of glory, and those that are asleep under the altar will come with Him, and those that are in the graves, the grace will burst open, and those that are dead will get up out of the graves, and then those which are alive and remain shall be caught up and changed in the air. Anybody else know about this verse today? And you know what it is? I believe this with all my heart. When we all get together and we're all together, it's almost like the other day when I had all the grandkids. I told them, y'all join hands. We're about to go across the street, or we're about about to walk somewhere, and I had every one of them, and I said, y'all just hold hands and then hold on to mine, and we'll all walk across the street together. Church, just rejoiced in my heart this week. I believe that when we get there, we'll all walk in together. Just Star will still be leading us. He will lead us to the throne of God, where we will bow down upon our knees and we will worship the true and living God today that made it possible that we could have life and have it everlasting. And people say, well, that's good and that makes it all well, but what happens to us while we're here? And I'm going to close in just a minute. But then a thought went back to me when you remember that the eunuch was there on the chariot and he was going. He had been down to Jerusalem to worship, and the Bible says that Philip, the Lord sent Philip out into a desert and told him to go out there, and he just went because the Lord said go. And when he got out there, he found a eunuch from Queen Candace, an Ethiopian that was there on a chariot, and he was reading the word of God. And Philip asked him, he said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I except some man would guide me? Here's that star again. People say, well, you're saying, and I thought about this, and I'm trying to be real careful with it. You know what God has given us in the midst of the church today? He has given us the star that will be able to guide men and women to where the Lord is at, so that they want to die in their sins. And some of you probably thinking, well, Roger's saying that he is the star that God sends. No, there's a greater preacher in the house than I am this morning. He is called He the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God will guide us. Does anybody need direction this morning in your life? The Star of David, the Word of God, will guide you in your life. Somebody that needs a miracle in your life, it can only come from the Star. Somebody that needs healing, it can only come from the Star. Somebody that needs salvation this morning, it can only come from the Star. I am not the Star. I feel like John this morning. I'm not he that you look for. He that cometh after me is mightier than I am. I'm not even worthy to bow down and untie his shoes. But praise God, when he comes, he will save you or baptize you with water, not meat for repentance. You won't have to worry about it. When he comes, you'll find the Star will lead you to God. Somebody this morning that needs a great move in your life. Rob and Sharon, get us a song. I told you I wasn't going to preach long. Somebody that needs a great move in your life. And you say, well, I don't know what you mean by great move. Sometimes I start thinking, Lord, there's got to be more to life than what I'm living. Anybody else? Sometimes I think, Lord, there's got to be more to the service where we attend at the church than what we're experiencing. And people say, well, are you doubting or questioning the Lord's movement in our church? No, I thank God for His movement in our church. Amen. But folks, God could do a whole lot more if we would just let Him. Yeah. Sometimes I think, Lord, I just need You. Anybody ever felt like in one of your days where you just needed somebody to just take you up in your arms and just hug you real tight and tell you everything's going to be all right? You know, when I was little, Mom or Dad, Chad could take us up in arms and hug us and or just pat us on the back and say it'll be all right. And we trusted and believed their word. And sure enough, it was all right. I don't know how they did it, except that they had the Lord with them. Well, sometimes in our adult lives, and I'll confess if you want, sometimes I just need the Lord just put His arm around my shoulders and say, son, it's going to be all right. I know what you're going through. I know what you're feeling. I know your questions and your thoughts. I know about your worries. Anybody else have worries today? I know about your fears. And folks, it's more prevalent in my life today, each and every day. There's going to come a time, all these funerals that we attend, someday it's going to be mine. And I'll just be open with you, it scares me. It's not that I worry about where I'll spend eternity. It scares me about what I'll have to go through to get there. It scares me about what I'm leaving behind. It worries me about Beck and the boys and Tiff. It worries me about the grandkids. It worries me about the church. It worries me about this country. Because I'll tell you, church, this morning, I'm not going to get into politics, but what's going on in our country is scaring me to death. And within myself, I think, well, what in the world can I do? And you know what it comes down? I am very limited in what I can do. But there is a great light. Listen to this, and let me close. Those wise men went through peril to get to where Christ was at. They went through places that the thieves were just waiting for them to go through so they could attack them and take all they had and kill them. They went through places where the enemy would try to, no doubt, to make them give up. They went through places that no doubt they got sick in their journey. They went through places where some of those that was traveling with them got sick. And maybe at times they felt like just throwing up their hands and saying, we gave it our best shot. And this is Roger's thoughts, okay? But in spite of all of the problems, they just kept pressing on. And when they got there to Bethlehem, they said, we've seen that star, we followed it. Folks, let me tell you what happened. No matter what they went through, that star motivated them. How many of us today allow God to motivate our every action? Just following the star motivated them. And when they saw that star in its fullness in verse 10, it said that they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Let me tell you this morning, I've been at places where that star motivated me just to keep on walking. Anybody in the house know what I'm preaching about? I've been at places when I would have given up had I not just looked up and seen that star shining bright. No, I didn't see it in its fullness, and I still haven't seen it in its fullness, but I'm still following the star. And you know where it's going to take me when this life comes to an end? It's going to take me across the river. And when I get there, you think the wise men rejoiced? You ought to hear just a little bit about what I think heaven's going to be like rejoicing. Anybody ever been in a good old Pentecostal Holy Ghost filled service where they were shouting all over the house? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you didn't know what to do next. Your cup was so full that you couldn't even much hold your head up for wiping the tears away. You know what I think heaven's going to be like? It's going to be like one of those camp meetings. To where we don't have to look at the clock. We don't have to worry. I've been in some services where, Billy, that the body, the flesh, just got so wore out. After a while, you just couldn't cry any more tears. After a while, you just couldn't just find the energy just to worship anymore. But brothers and sisters, when we get to heaven and see the star in all of His fullness, we will praise Him like we've never praised Him before. In a land where we'll never grow old, we'll never wear out, and we will never get tired of praising the Lord for that great light. That's not way out yonder, and it's somewhere in the future. But how many of you got that star shining in your life? In your life. This morning, for those that don't have the star shining in your life, while we stand, they sing a verse of a song. If you'll just follow the star, you'll find where Jesus is at. You'll find Him this morning. For those that have been so down and out that you don't even look up to see the star anymore to get your motivation. You're so down and out and depressed. Maybe you're just so frustrated with all the things that you've gone through. You know, the best thing to do is get down upon our knees and look up and see that that star is still shining. It's still there. It will still guide us to where God is at. To where our remedy is at. To where our help is at. To where our future is at. If we'll just follow the star. Those wise men could have stopped anywhere on their journey. And said, we tried. We tried. Just because they saw the star in the distance didn't mean that they saw the full glory of God. But you know what they did? They kept on going. And when they got there, oh, can you see the meeting they had when they got there? they rejoiced with great joy. Somebody else that needs to come this morning. Sing on, Sharon and Rob. While these are praying, somebody else this morning.
5,000.
The star still leads to God. It still leads to God. But you have to follow that star.
The dead, life again.
Yes. Not only did the wise man see it, but how many of you remember the story about the shepherds? The Bible says that the shepherds were there, and you're thinking, was there a star that was there? The Bible says that the angel of the Lord came down. Now, don't fall out with me this morning. But when I read about the angel of the Lord, you know who that's representing? It's representing the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. He came down in His Shekinah glory. And He told those shepherds, get over there toward Jerusalem in Bethlehem, because you'll find the Christ child lying in a manger. Somebody else this morning. Bless her today. Some of y'all come in and pray. Some of you want to pray anyway. Won't you just follow God? Follow your heart. Folks, there's been times, as I speak to children of God for just a moment, there's been times we've all taken our eyes off of the star. We've all taken our eyes off of that star, and we got in trouble for it. But folks, that didn't stop the star from shining. He still was shining. He still is shining. All we had to do was get our eyes off the world and back on Him. Would you do that this morning? You say, well, I go to church all the time. I didn't ask you if you go to church. I'm asking you, are your eyes on the star? Are you following Him? God bless you this morning. The star still leads to God. And I'm glad that I know the star personally. Amen. Personally. Yes.
Soon you'll receive all. It's only one prayer away.
Amen. Amen. How many of you know the star?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I know Him. And I'm not throwing stones in my close of comments. You know, some churches, you would think the pastor is the star. You would. Some churches, you would think the deacons are the star. The Hensons used to have a song years and years ago. And some of you remember this. It said, nobody wants to play rhythm guitar behind Jesus. Everybody wants to be the leader of the band. See, folks want to be the star. And you and I, we don't have what it takes to be the star of the church. None of us do. Without Him, you know what we are? We're nothing. And all of our righteousness is as filthy rags before Him. But when we follow the star, Sister Rose, we keep our eyes on Him. He gives us the journey, and He walks every step with us. And though He didn't say it was always going to be smooth sailing, He didn't say it was always going to be easy to walk and follow Him, but He did say this, lo, I be with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm following the star, aren't you, this morning? Hope you got something from the message, from these songs. And I appreciate each and every one of you coming out on this beautiful Sunday morning to be with us in the house of the Lord. Remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock, that we'll come back and we'll come to worship the star. yet another time that we get this privilege to do so. Anybody got anything on your heart before we close?